Gene Tennis has joined us on Sports Byline. Gene, you were a backup to Dave Duncan for the first part of your career in Oakland, were you not?
Correct.
Yeah, and it was 72 was kind of your breakout year. Tell me about that season.
Well, I was the backup in 72 to start the season. And, I'd catch once a week to give Duncan a break, I guess, and just give me some at bats. But he was primarily the number one catcher. And then all of a sudden in August, for some reason, I'm not quite sure, Dick Williams called me in. He said, look, you're my number. You're catching. And I'm making a catching change here, and then you're going to be the catcher of this. All I want you to do is handle my pitching staff. I really don't care what you hit. Just handle my staff. Block the ball, throw runners out, call the game, and you're going to finish the season behind the plate. So I don't know what happened with him and Duncan, but that's what went down. You know, my numbers didn't look like I did much, but then again, I wasn't playing much. So, you know, I ended up catching from August to September, and then we got into the playoffs with Detroit. And I had a terrible series. I mean, it looked like I had a terrible. I was 0-for-15 or something like that. And then going into the last game there in Detroit, I ended up driving in the go-ahead run, and we ended up beating them 2-1. That was the only hit I got and the only ribby I got the whole daggone series. But it turned out to be something big because I carried that approach and that everything right into the World Series, and it seemed like everything that I hit in the 72 World Series fell in.
Did you approach the World Series or the playoffs any differently than what you did during the regular season? Because you're absolutely right. When you didn't get the opportunity to play on a daily basis, all of a sudden to find that rhythm and that confidence that a batter needs to have can be awfully, awfully difficult.
Well, you know, the funny thing is in the 72 playoffs against Detroit, I was making good contact. I just wasn't getting any love for it, I guess you could call it. I wasn't seeing any positive results out of it. So I was seeing the ball good against the Tigers pitching staff, but it seemed like if I hit a ball hard, it was right at somebody, or I just missed balls that, you know, if you take a quarter of an inch on a baseball, it could be a difference in a fly ball and a home run. And that's the kind of series I was having. It seemed like everything that I put my bat on, it went right at somebody, or it went out in the outfield and they caught it. But in the Cincinnati, it seemed like I didn't change a stinking thing. My approach or anything is just the fact that I was seeing the ball well, and I was able to slow everything down, and everything I think and hit, it seemed like it found a hole somewhere.
Yeah, that you're the first player to hit home runs in the first two World Series at bats, and in that first game, you drove in all three of the runs for the A's in that 3-2 victory. You went on in that World Series. You went 8-for-23 in the series, with four home runs and nine RBIs. The other thing that jumped out at me about your career now, when you hit 20 home runs or more on four different seasons, but, you know, most people would say, well, if you hit for that type of power, you're a free swinger. But you were very disciplined. You had more than 100 walks a number of seasons.
Yeah, I led the American League and the National League in walks on, you know, as a hitter. I had a good eye, you know. I think catching helped me with the strike zone, and also had a great report with the umpires behind the plate. I'd get on them, but you know, I did it, you know, in a way where they didn't hold a grudge against me, you know, and I think that helped me out a lot. So, you know, and I think the other thing is where I hit in the lineup also was a factor because I didn't really have a big time hitter hitting behind me. And they kept trying to nibble, and I just was able to discipline myself to lay off that pitch. And next thing, you know, it led me to a lot of walks, and then they ended up facing the guy they wanted to, you know, face anyway. So,
let me ask you about the pitching staff, because as you said, your manager said he wanted you to handle the pitching staff. Now, that included you catching Vita Blue's no-hitter in 1970. Also, Ken Holtzman was on that staff. Blue Moon Odom was on that staff. Catfish Hunter was on that staff. What was the secret to being able to handle them?
That's a good question, because they probably could have pitched without a catcher.
Right.
I mean, you know, so I'm serious. These guys knew exactly what they were doing, and they were all veteran pitchers. I don't know what happened with him and Duncan, you know, like I said, but I just think he wanted to make a change with the catching, and he used that to be hand on the staff. I think Duncan was having some pass balls, and I think maybe, you know, just from watching his catching, his hitting got started affecting his catching because he went into a rut. Offense. He had 19 home runs for us that year in 72, and then all of a sudden he went into kind of a tailspin offensively, and I think that kind of mentally kind of affected his offensive ability behind the plate, and Dick was ready to sacrifice some offense for somebody to get back there and be able to catch the ball and handle the pitching a little better.
I've got to ask you the question. Do you remember the only time that Ken Holtzman threw a breaking ball?
Yeah, I do. And the sucker ended up in his seats. How'd you know about that?
Well, I just remember that the reputation of Ken Holtzman was that he was just a fastball pitcher. He never threw a breaking ball. But that one time, as you said, that ball just it flew out of the stadium.
Well, I've been trying to convince him to throw me some breaking balls. He was a fastball changeup pitcher, and he was good at it, you know. I mean, two pitches, as you got to be kidding. But he had a tremendous breaking ball. He never thought he had a good breaking ball. And we were playing Milwaukee, and George Scott, and I kept throwing this freaking breaking ball down, like sign down, and he kept shaking me off. And then he finally, I don't know what happened, but he decided to throw it. And I thought it was a good breaking ball, but George hit the thing over the fence, and we get to Doug and said, don't ever call that pitch again. That's why I don't throw it. I said, Dad, come on. I said, all the time I tried to get you to throw one pitch, and it knucklehead hits it over the fence, and now you quit on it. I said, you even Christmas. I said, I've seen him hit home runs off of your fastball, too. You need to quit throwing that.
Gene, I have to ask you about this because you're the best person to put this into perspective. The Oakland A's were an interesting group of people. There was always the reputation of them fighting in the locker room, but when they went across the line, they all came together and did what you needed to do to win three straight World Series back in the 70s. Then you had an owner like Charlie Finley who added to the mix and the volatility and everything. Put that team in perspective, the personalities, and why they were able to win.
Well, the reason why we was able to win, obviously, was the talent that we had. And having the talent is one thing, but we had probably 25 guys had the tremendous ambition to win, you know, desire to be a world championship team. I mean, it just, and you can see it in spring training, the way they did, went about their work ethic and just the way they handled themselves. Yeah, then once we got between the white lines, we was able to execute, and Dick Williams came in and really honed us in. He saw that we had the pitching, we could catch the ball. We were lacking one area that he thought we needed improvement in, and that was our execution on defense, you know, hitting cutoff man, run down plays, bunt plays. So he kind of took over in spring training, and he pounded that in us, and all of a sudden we started doing that third phase, and next thing you know, we took off. And but the guys, you know, we had 25 different personalities, and there were fights with with different guys would get into a scuffle. But you're right. It's amazing that, you know, there was no animosity. Once that bell rang, they said, play ball. Everybody pulled for everybody. You didn't go out to dinner with the guy afterward, the game, but you played, you played the game to win.
Yeah, over your 15-year career, is there a particular memory that's kind of seared in your mind about something that happened to you or in your career?
Oh, gosh, that's a tough question. Not a particular one. I think just the winning that first world championship was probably the most difficult thing I have ever gone through, especially in the playoffs. Started out in the playoffs. We win the first two games, and all of a sudden we only need one more game. We say, oh, man, we're only in a Detroit. We just go out there and we'll take it to them tomorrow. Next thing you know, we're down two games, and we're going in that fifth game. I've never experienced pressure in my life like that fifth game. When we were so close, and all of a sudden now it's one game decides who goes to the World Series, and we were fortunate to be able to pull that out. But the thing is, we got into Cincinnati. We were so underdog. We were so picked to be. We were so highly underdogs because we lost Reggie in the playoffs. And I think with even Reggie in the lineup, we would have been predicted to be underdogs because Cincinnati, they had Hall of Famers all over that field, and they had a great pitching staff. They had just about anything, you know, that you wanted in a club, and they got the recognition, and we never did get the recognition, you know. But anyway, we went out there, and we had, and I have to give the reason why we won the 72 series wasn't because of me. It was because our pitching staff shut down that offense.
Gene Tennis with us again, a catcher, first baseman who played 15 seasons in the major leagues with Oakland, where he played 8 years, and with the Padres, Cardinals, and the Pirates. He won 3 World Series championships. That with the Oakland A's, also picked up another World Series championship as a player with the St. Louis Cardinals, and then as a coach with the Toronto Blue Jays, he won 2 World Series as well. We continue on Sports Byline.